Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Well, it's Saturday at 5 to 3. I'm rushing to the ground. I need my weekly football fix, and so I'm Deepdale bound. Alan Kelly Town and meat pie in hand. I'm going for watch the best team in all the land, and I've got for say it, we love you, PNE.
PNE, PNE, we love you, PNE. We're the greatest team there's ever been in the country. We don't come from the Blackpool or from Burnley. The crowd all cheer, proud of Lancashire. We love you, PNE.
We don't come from Blackpool. We don't come from Burnley. It is PNE. What an entrance. What an opener that is. I absolutely love that. What a way to kick off the PNE fan show, the Preston North End takeover. It is happening here. It is happening at Love Sport Radio. And you can have your say tonight. You can join us, in fact. Become a co-host. Have your say on your team tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Genuinely, we love it. The producer was even dancing along. PNE is the theme of the day, not just of this 30-minute takeover, but it might not be one of our best takeovers. It always is when we line up the guests, but not to be on the weekend for Preston. We're going to be talking all about that Millwall game, looking towards the games with Hull and West Brom. Key games now in this home straight, the business end of the season. But to kick it all off, is the wonderful, it is Oliver Dawes from Deepdale Digest. Oliver, really good to get you on and have another chat with you. I'm sorry that it's not in better circumstances. It wasn't to be on the weekend, and it wasn't to be on the weekend when normally we talk about Preston at home at Deepdale. That home form is absolutely rock solid. We expect so much there, but it wasn't the case this Saturday.
Yeah, sadly, a bit of a frustrating one, and it feels almost a little bit like when we picked up a couple of good away results at Cardiff and Leeds in December, then we got back to playing at home against Reading and Middlesbrough, then lost them both. So you're hoping now that after the sort of the good away results at Wigan and Stoke, we don't follow that up with two home defeats in a row.
Yeah, it's just a strange one, and I don't think there was any complacency in that performance or in that result. Millwall are a good side, and they've really improved under Rowett since he took over. But you sort of look at those games, and maybe it's just because we're at that season, and we do that thing, don't we, as football fans, Oliver? We go, right, we think that's 3 points there. Yeah, we can go there. We'll get a point there. And we start tallying it up, and we're trying to work out our final position. And we looked at this one on the weekend. I wasn't taking Millwall for granted, but Preston at home and Millwall just felt like this was a strong chance to get 3 points, and it just didn't match up to it.
Yeah, it feels especially like a missed opportunity because of the results around us. Brentford drew, Fulham lost, Forest drew, Bristol City lost. Like, it's
Fulham got all, beat by Barnsley.
Yeah, like it was all there for us to pick up points and, you know, possibly even go third if we'd managed to win by 2-0. But yeah, just one of them. I think I looked into it earlier this week, and our record against Gary Rowett is shocking. We've played against his team 7 times and never beaten him now. So him coming to Deepdale and doing a number on us again was one of those where it was like deflating, but then you look at it and think he's just got them so well drilled. And they, it's not even like I can sit here and say that we were hard done by, because they thoroughly deserved to win it.
Yeah, they did. And on that then, Oliver, why do you think you say that Gary Rowett's obviously got the number at the minute? What is it that he's seen in Preston? What is it that he knows where the vulnerabilities are? He knows the blueprint to beat the side. Why is it that teams have this, whether it be a team or a manager or a former player comes back to haunt him? Why is it that Gary Rowett knows how to get the 3 points when coming up against North End?
It's just what, like, you can look at it and say that it's maybe just one of those quirks in football that happens where, you know, every team's got a bogey team, and Preston are probably a bogey team for many other teams because we're pretty good at frustrating other teams. But I think he's just a manager who's got his side really well drilled. They played really tight defensively, like three centre backs, and it's those kind of games where Preston are liable to sort of just lack that bit of cutting edge, and so it proved again on Saturday. Unfortunately, just couldn't break them down, and I think it's now four different clubs that Rowett's managed against us and haven't beaten any of them. So he obviously just knows how to get a defence that'll battle away and frustrate you, and it's just a recipe for disappointment with North End, given our, you know, lack of cutting edge at times.
Yeah, and I can't think, Oliver, was he in charge of the first game in the season? Because I mean, we'll have done the double over you this year as well, haven't they?
They have done the double. It was Neil Harris at the
yeah,
start.
Yeah, I didn't think it was Gary, yeah.
Yeah, but Rowett's managed Birmingham, Derby, Stoke and now Millwall against us and never lost. So, yeah, it's either one of those just weird things or just knows how to frustrate us.
Yeah, he does. But something that you touched upon, look, there's never a good time to lose. I'm not trying to sugarcoat this and paint it up like that. But you spoke about the other teams in and around you going on. Not the greatest weekend for them. Only one team in seven actually went on to win this weekend. That was Leeds beating Bristol. But those other teams losing or just getting a point, you're still right in the mix. And now maybe that you go, right, when we've had an off game, a bad day at the office or, you know, a banana skin fell over that trapdoor, fell into the trapdoor, it was when everyone else did. Let's get back on it. Let's get back on the A game, but, you know, and really stay in the hunt.
Yeah, that's the flip side of that disappointment of not being able to capitalise on it. It's that at least, you know, we're still within touching distance of the teams above us. We're still sixth. We're still in a good position. There are only sort of Blackburn and Millwall, obviously, because they beat us, but they're the only two teams that really closed the gap on us as well. So, all things considered, it wasn't absolutely disastrous by any stretch of the imagination, but yeah. Bit of a missed opportunity, but could have been worse.
Yeah, I know. You have to think like that, Oliver. That just take all the positives. That's what we have to do because it's going to be such a frantic end to the season. I have to ask you a little bit. Alex Neil's comments after the game. Look, I'm actually a massive, massive fan of Alex Neil. I've said on this show, Preston were my tip to go up. Big fan of him as a manager. I know you guys are as well. I'll come to that more a little bit later. But his comments after the game, he said, oh, you know, I was wondering, should I go for it or should I settle for a point? And I decided to go for it. He made those two subs that he was calling aggressive substitutions. But what I take sort of umbrage with that statement, Oliver, is the fact that he was even saying, should I go for it or settle for a point? And I thought, that to me, I can't get on board with that. I can't even know how to sum it up because this is a team that are striving to make the Premier League, striving to make those playoffs, stay in those playoff positions, and he's saying, should we settle for a point? And I understand that some fans will go, well, look, a point is better than the one that Preston come away with on the weekend, which was zero. But this is Fulham. This weren't a Leeds or a West Brom. And every game you've got to be going to win, especially when you are at home and you want to reach the next rung on the ladder. Do you know what I mean when I say that, Oliver?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, especially, like, again, you look at it as home to Millwall, and that's not intended as any sort of disrespect because Millwall, again, such a good side and deserve to beat us. But, yeah, if you've got to be looking to try and get the win. I thought bringing on Maguire instead of Stockley was a bit of a strange one for me, given how their centre-backs had just sort of won everything all day. And I thought maybe throwing on Stockley might have just given them something a little bit different to deal with. Neil has spoken like this in the past. I remember even the first league game he took charge of with drawing 0-0 at home at Sheffield Wednesday. And that was one of the games where he decided to go for it. He threw on another strike and we got the win and everyone was like saying what a great ballsy decision it was, and then sometimes he goes for it and it doesn't come off, and that's just one of those things. I think he said himself that, yeah, it's great when it comes off, but there are going to be times when it doesn't. I think we are just lacking, again, I feel like I say this every time I come on, but we are just missing a striker that can change the game from the bench a little bit, because love David Nugent, but yeah, last week wasn't really his game.
Yeah, it wasn't his game. Look, I know he did go on, Alex Neil, and make those aggressive substitutions. Like I said, I'm a fan. It's just a bit of a weird one. You know, you've got to be going for it now. We're running out of games. We want to be taking the most of the opportunities. I know you're saying it with a striker as well, needing that opportunity. Oliver, don't worry. There will be better results around the corner. You never sounded like a broken record on this show. It's why we get you back week in, week out. I look forward to chatting to you next week when we can talk about those two results. And hopefully, this time, those aggressive substitutions will pay off. But stick around because there is still more to come. And next, we're joined by Charlie.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Preston North End Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and with him, the other Charlie, Charlie Wynyard, joining us now. As I always say, a right couple of Charlies taking you through every Thursday on the Preston North Fan Show. I look forward to it. It's me and Charlie chatting about his team and what his hopes are and what your hopes are as fans. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Charlie, well, you just heard from Oliver there, and I know you're going to say much of the same. Not to be on the weekend, and it was not to be on the weekend when Preston really had the majority of the possession, but didn't do much with it.
No, well, we could have quite easily won the game in the first 15, 20 minutes. We had three opportunities we should have really
good
scored.
Opportunities.
Yeah, we've similar to the Wigan game where DJ got in a similar position, but this time he couldn't score it. So it's one of a frustrating game. Like, nothing really happens, and Millwall set up well against us. It seems to be a thing where when Reading came to us, they set up as a five at the back. Middlesbrough came to us, they set up a five at the back. Then Millwall, same again, come back, set up as a five at the back. But you've got to give it to Millwall. They're a good team. They play well against us, and what caught us out of a goal and deserved the win.
Yeah, and it's interesting on that because we know Millwall are sort of having not a new manager bounce because Rowe, it's been there a while now, but they really improved under him and they have done the double. But just on that, it's quite interesting. You mentioned the way Reading set up and Middlesbrough therefore have copied suit. Now Millwall, are you saying that almost teams, they know how to sort of frustrate and stifle Preston, and there's, I don't want to say a blueprint to maybe getting the best result against them, but teams sort of know that this will give us our best chance?
Yeah, cool. I think teams have done their own work. Look at the start of the season. We have our home games. Our home record's been brilliant. Mm. And obviously teams have been looking at it, and they've been looking at the weaknesses because we've had that many games now. Teams have seen how we've been playing for 15, 16, 17 games. So they'll pick up on things and they'll realise. And teams are coming and they're doing it. They're not letting us attack. We're just not creating anything. We're passing sideways. We can't get a ball in behind. We're doing long balls to a striker that's not tall enough. And like you said, Nugent is good and he can turn on and play his game, but I think he's like a 20-minute player because of the way he is. And I think, like Ollie said, Stockley would have been the ideal for the weekend.
Yeah, it's such a frustrating result and performance. I mean, we was hoping for 3 points. We always are. Maybe I just expected it, and you can never expect it. Complacency from me, certainly not from the players. I was just speaking to Oliver, Charlie, about Alex Neil's comments after the game and him saying, should we go for it? Should we settle for a point? But he's also done an interview this week, and I know that you guys on social media, you were really impressed with it. And it's something that you actually, it took me back to me and you speaking on the fan shows before, that you wanted to see more stuff like this from the club and manager. Just a little bit of noise, because sometimes they are quite quiet. They don't tweet out things, but they did tweet out this, and you were pleased about that, weren't you?
Yeah, definitely. It's a need to do. They need to get that fan engagement back. The club need to show that they are listening to what fans are saying. They need to put stuff out there to show that they are listening. And like he's done that interview, like you've just seen, probably in BBC Radio Lancashire. And it shows that he's a normal person, even though we already know that. But it shows he's a down-to-earth person and he understands what the fans are. And his frustrations are the same as ours.
Yeah, same as yours. But I know that they was tweeting out the regular R Gaffer, and you were pleased about it, saying what the fans wanted to hear, and you know exactly why he was at the club, and he could have gone elsewhere and for more money. But he sees a vision, he sees a project, he wants to take this team to a division that they've never been—that promised land, the Premier League. What else what pleased you in what he had to say?
Well, I think it's the case of, he kind of hinted about not being backed in a sense, which is, like Oliver said, we need that striker and we've needed that fullback. But at the weekend, we didn't have Fisher, we had Clark playing right back, and he's not an attacking-minded player. He don't get forward, whereas Fisher gives that option. If he defends well, he gets back, and he can also attack well and get crosses into the box.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I'm fascinated by how this final third of the season will go. I wanted to also speak a little bit about, Charlie, the training ground situation, because there was a couple of comments that he also made about that, maybe not the happiest with it. Can you shed any light on that? What is the training ground situation like, and what can we see happening with it? Any developments in the future?
Well, back in the day, Hemmings and that come out with the idea of building a new training ground to get up to Premier League standard and push to get to the Premier League. And he didn't, at the start of it, he didn't get permission from the council. They said no to it. So the club, as they are, they pleaded for all the fans to help out and get his petition signed to get it over the line. Everyone's done that. Everyone got petition signed. The council said, yeah, put it through. And the idea was that the training ground would be up and running by 2017, 2018. And it's not. Nothing's happened. The houses have started to be built on the thing. But originally it was a case of the training ground were built alongside the houses. Now they're saying it's the houses need to be built and sold first before anything happens.
Is this a case of, look, I don't want it easy to point at it and put two and two together, but would you say that the training ground and the facilities, and that's what maybe Alex Neil was alluding to, that maybe holding them back in a certain respect?
Yeah, well, you need loads of different training facilities, like you said. They've had to rent out 4G pitches when most of the clubs have got 4G pitches on site with the training grounds. And he's pointed out that they've got three pitches at the Springfields. Obviously, with the weather being like it is, I mean, they've only got one good pitch. So you can't, as much as the rumours are in one pitch, you can't do all the drills you want to do in one pitch, because you'll have your defenders doing their defending drills, your strikers doing your striking drills, your keepers on their own. It's just one of them. You don't have enough room by the sounds of it.
Yeah, and I saw a brilliant photo on the social media of Deepdale in the 1980s looking completely different. Can we see any more, updates and development on the ground? And also, why I sort of bring that into tonight's discussion, Charlie, is because a lot's being made in the last few weeks that we will see a reintroduction of safe standing, which is obviously known as rail seating. Clubs are looking to do this. I know Bristol City wants to. There's a few clubs in the Premier League. What do you think about that? Could we ever see that at Deepdale? And how up for that would the fans be? And would they be in favour of a move like that?
I think they would do. But it extends back to the... We used to sit on the cop end of the stadium as well, which is across from the town end. They used to split it in half. It's where the away fans sit now. And that's where all the atmosphere used to be, because they give you, I think it was 2,000 unreserved seating. That's where everyone used to sit. And that's where the atmosphere was. But I don't know if it'd work in the town end. I think it would. I think the club might be up for it, but I'm not too sure. I think it'd be better if we separated and got all the fans together that wanted to create an atmosphere and put them back on the cop side. That's the only way I could see it working.
But this for me, Charlie, sort of comes down to, look, you're in the know, I'm speaking out of turn here maybe, but this for me, maybe when the club have got to get involved, that fan engagement, as you said, not just on social media and having that presence, but speaking to the fans, putting you all in one end or one section, because that's only going to, A, enhance the match day fan experience, but also, surely, I know it won't every week, but it will have a positive effect on the team, won't it?
Yeah, definitely. The manager and the players keep saying after a away game, oh, what a brilliant atmosphere the away fans made. It really helps us and pushes us towards getting the extra goal if we need to win, or pushes us towards keep running. Whereas a home game, it's a bit hit and miss. We can score a goal, the atmosphere will be there, then it'll just stop. And I think the players just need that push, a bit of atmosphere at the home games, because it's like a graveyard at times.
Yeah, it is that one thing missing. I know you do travel well as well. You've got an away game coming up to Luton. You'll be making the trip down south. What a trip that will be, Kenilworth Road. That's a tick in the diary if you're trying to get all the 92 ticks for the clubs. That's a crazy away day, as I'm sure you'll know, Charlie. Let's talk about the two games that you do have before we next get the chance to speak to you. Starting with Hull, it's another home game. It's a chance to, A, bounce back from that Millwall result, but also bounce back at home where you've been so solid and dependable this season, Charlie.
yeah, it's, they're a completely different team to where we played at their place when they battered us. Now they've lost both the best players on the wings, and it's some people have said it's probably our biggest game this season, in the sense of the two games we've got coming after it. We need to make a statement the weekend and get a few goals to score, because then the Tuesday we're also at West Brom, top of the league, and then the Saturday we're in Fulham. So they're both two good teams, and you can't take away Hull are a good team as well. On the day, they managed to score four goals against Swansea the other day.
I know, that was a weird one though, weren't it? Because I think they'd lost the previous six before then, and then they get a 4-4, and I can't really. And since losing those players, it's a tough one. I've got to be honest, I thought Hull were on the slide.
Yeah, it's signed a few players, to be fair to them. They might not have looked like they're the best players, but they start showing up. That Madison seems to be a good player. That Malik Wilkes they got from Barnsley, he's looking good. So they have got the threats there to score against us. And like, they might have been doing their own like Millwall. I mean, they might come at the weekend, they might play five at the back, and it might be another game that hard for us to break down. But hopefully, we might see a change in our playing style at the weekend, and hopefully we can get the win, make a real statement, like I say, get a few goals.
Yeah, before your prediction then, Charlie, what style do you think that we could see Preston switch it up, like you just referred to?
Well, I've seen a lot of things on Twitter about Atletico Madrid and them playing the 4-4-2 formation against Liverpool the other day. People say
hold up. Preston Madrid will have to call this fan show if you carry on.
No, I'm just saying I'd like to see a 4-4-2 formation and maybe play Stockley and Maguire together.
Yeah.
Have Stockley to bring the ball on, Maguire to run in behind him. There's something different because we seem to be playing the same kind of style, and it does work in some games. And some game it doesn't. It's just one of them.
Well, what is your prediction then? Because Hull will be up for it. Preston, we know what how good they are at Deepdale. They want to put Millwall behind them in the rearview mirror. Predicting 3 points, Charlie?
Yeah, I think we'll win the game. But we seem to always concede our goals. So I'm going to say, I'll talk for 3-1 to us.
3-1. And we know you're pretty spot on the predictions. The ratio's fallen away somewhat in the last couple of weeks. Yeah. But you're still on. I'll give you it. Don't worry. And then it's West Brom, obviously, in the week before we speak next week. That one's massive. The Fulham game will cover next week. But West Brom league leaders. Although, you're away, and we know Preston's away form and their home form. West Brom have only won 1 in 7 at home. That's got to fill you with a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, definitely. We seem to do well at away games. And we tend to take the game to them, which hopefully, like I said when I went to the Leeds game, I seen us attack, and put pressure in and made them make mistakes. And we picked on the mistakes and scored. And I'm a good friends with Callum Robinson and his dad. I've been speaking to his dad, and he's said, "Oh, we're going to beat you." I was like, "No, you don't want that deep down. You want Preston to win, because obviously he's been at Preston for quite a while. And he seems to be excited to at the prospect of playing against us again."
Yeah, I can't believe how many weeks we've been doing this show and you've just name-dropped Callum Robinson like that just off the back right when we go on a fair, and I can't pull you apart for it. I like that, Charlie. I like your style. Because what is your West Brom prediction then? What are you making?
I'd be happy with a draw, both who want the win. So I'm going to say 1-1.
Yeah, but 4 points, you take that from those two games. Charlie, always a pleasure to speak to you. Make sure you check out not only Charlie at Preston North End Home and Away, but Oliver Dawes as well from Deepdale Digest. Just brilliant, the pair of them coming on and giving us the knowledge and the insight on your team. But if you've heard anything tonight and you're thinking, I think it's this, or I disagree with that, well, call us. Have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. The Preston North End Show will be back at the same time as it is every Thursday, 10:30 to 11, right here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.